It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Steelers opened their season on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans at Heinz Field. The Steelers are known for their success over the last 40 years, including six Super Bowl championships. Not as well known is something called the Steeler Way, which refers to success off the field. Writer Ben Schmidt has recently written about the Steeler Way for the Pittsburgh Quarterly, and he joins us now in Studio A. Ben Schmidt, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What is the Steeler Way?
Well, I guess there are various ways to define it, but in short, it's the organization trying to draft players that are character players, players that perform well on the field but also try to stay out of trouble off the field and just, you know, good character people.
But that doesn't happen easily, especially in today's NFL, where we've seen, as you pointed out in your piece, an increase in off-field arrests by 75% over last year. So it's easy to say there's this Steeler way, but how do they make it happen? How do they enforce it?
Yeah, great question. I will couch this by saying the Steelers themselves are not immune from off-field problems, as everybody who lives in Pittsburgh knows. Any event is very highly publicized. But what the organization tries to do is they actually have an employee, Ray Jackson. He's the director of player engagement, and he's a former NFL player, so he knows the ins and outs of being a player and some of the trials and tribulations you'll face. And what he does is he helps the Steelers with everything from, and I'm talking when I say the Steelers, mainly rookie players, but he'll deal with any player. But part of his job description is to help rookie players deal with anything from opening a bank account to managing their money to dealing with families of the players to bringing in families of the players to meet with the organization privately without the players. And it's just fascinating stuff, some of the things they do that goes above and beyond what you would think. Even some of the players on the team, some of the veterans who have been on other teams, told me that there's no other organization like it when it comes to really appearing to care about the players. It seems very genuine.
And when you talk about the genuine caring, as you pointed out in your piece, among other things, the Steelers owners, who are the Rooney family, they have a tradition of doing things like sitting down with the players and having a meal with them, which may not sound like much, but apparently that doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
Right. The owners are very hands-on, the Rooneys. And actually, I'll let you in on a part of the piece that didn't make it in just for, you know, various space reasons. One of the tight end, Matt Spaeth, was telling me about how he'll be in the cafeteria over on the south side at the practice facility. He'll see Dan Rooney come up, go to the cafeteria, get a tray, get his food, and reach into his pocket and pay the $3.50 or whatever it was for a sandwich, and then just sit down with everybody. And it, you know, it just sounds like a simple, regular thing, but you know, this is the owner of an NFL football team who's just kind of hanging out with the players, acting like a regular guy, not parking in any specific parking spot, just kind of, you know, parking wherever, flying with them on trips to other cities. It's a pretty neat thing.
You're saying other NFL owners don't necessarily do this?
That's what I'm told from some of the Steeler players who have been on other teams.
How aloof are some of these other owners in terms of their disconnect from the player?
There was a couple players who said that they never really spoke to owners at all, and the Rooneys aren't like that.
A lot of people assume that players should have no problems navigating their life off the field. They're making a lot of money. They have agents. They have accountants. They have representatives. So why is it that the Steelers would need to bring in family members of some of these players and counsel them about how to handle their lives off of the field?
Yeah, this is also an interesting point that Ray Jackson made. He said that a lot of times the psychology of a family member, when all of a sudden this player becomes an NFL star or even a rookie, and all of a sudden they're talking about millions of dollars, that the family members almost start to look at that person as the leader of the family. And they forget that this person is 21 or 22. And what Ray Jackson tries to tell the family members is, remember that this person still needs people to lean on. They need mentors. They're still a young kid. They might have CEO money, but they're not CEO age. So it's really important for the family members to try to stay grounded and keep the player grounded.
How important is it that the Steelers have someone like Ray Jackson doing this? Apparently, Mr. Jackson has some of his own experiences that have informed him about how to help these players.
Yeah, and that was interesting. I kind of talked to Ray Jackson about how he got involved in this, and he talked about an epiphany he had when he played with the Buffalo Bills, and he was an NFL defensive player, and he had money in the bank as far as he knew, and he had a financial planner handling his money, but he wasn't necessarily paying attention to his money. So one day he was literally in a grocery store, and he talked about, you know, picking up his favorite cereal and some other things to eat. He got to the cashier, and the credit card was the debit card was declined. And so he got on the cell phone and called his financial planner. He said, hey, wait a second. I know I have money. And the financial planner said, oh, I'm sorry. I moved all that money to another account. I didn't tell you that I did that. And what Ray did was he said he fired the guy on the spot. And from that time on, he started to pay more attention to his money, to his agents. And he even – I think there's a quote in this article where he's talking to players saying, you know, go visit your agent. Know who that agent is. See how that person lives. You know, stay in control of your money. Pay attention to your finances. Learn how the stock market works.
We're hearing more and more about players who – and they haven't always made the kind of money they make now. But we also are hearing a lot of stories about players who are leaving the game and they have no money left. They're broke.
Right.
How is that happening?
Just, I think, really through a series of bad decisions. Overspending, you know. Buying too many vehicles or too many houses or you know, you have a posse of people that follow you and they all get your money or a financial planner kind of. I mean, you've seen stories about ex-players filing lawsuits against agents or lawyers who kind of took them for their money, if you will.
Football's a business, and the owners are in it. There are reasons of prestige why people buy into these teams and want to own them, but there's also a lot of profit to be made. And the owners, the general managers, the coaches, they're not afraid to invoke that phrase, that this is just a business. So why would the Steelers care? What if they're making their money and they are a very profitable organization, from the interviews that you did, what sense did you get about why the Steelers care about making sure that the players are taken care of, they're okay?
Yeah, I think that, as any Pittsburgher knows, everybody here takes so much pride in their team, and that really starts from the ownership. Ray Jackson, I know I keep mentioning him. He talked about when he first came here and he walked out of the tunnel onto the field, and he saw all the terrible towels, just the enthusiasm. He saw people walking around the streets in the spring when it's not football season wearing Steeler jerseys, and he just said to his wife, "And there's such a different rabid fan base here that really, I mean, if you're a Steeler and you stay out of trouble, you're a star in this town, you know, for the rest of your life." And we've seen that time and time again.
Because the Steelers are owned by a family, one of the few family-owned organizations remaining in sports, owned by the Rooney family, is that part of what promotes a family atmosphere?
Yeah, I believe so. And it has already passed down through the Rooney generation. And just the Rooneys are so well-respected in this town. I do think that the family ownership translates into a family atmosphere.
A skeptic might look at this and say, well, it's all well and good that there is this thing called the Steeler way, and the Steelers are trying to make sure that players behave themselves off the field and that they are looked after. And yet you still hear about players getting into trouble, and certainly Ben Roethlisberger, even though he was never charged with sexual assault, the accusations were there. Mm-hmm. It was something that remains a black mark on his career and something that the owners perceived as tarnishing the organization. So if the Steeler way works, why are those things happening?
Well, I think, you know, you can't control what every person does. I mean, if I'm going to go afield from this and talk about the Aaron Hernandez situation, who could have seen that coming, that a player was going to, you know, be charged with murder? But, you have a roster of 53 players. You try to reach as many as you can. You realize that you can't reach every single one.
We're talking with writer Ben Schmidt, who's written a piece called The Steeler Way for the Pittsburgh Quarterly. And, Ben, the Steelers are certainly an iconic athletic organization known worldwide. You have Steeler bars all over the country and all over the world, for that matter. And they are iconic, not just because of their success, but because of an image that they have. To what extent does this whole program help to contribute toward that positive Steeler image?
Well, I think that it filters down from the coach all the way to the players, all the way to the fans. And I think the fact that, you know, in the article I talk about how Coach Mike Tomlin gets involved in some of these programs. There's a woman, Sandra McDonald, who comes in from Georgia, and I guess she also lectures to the rookies during the NFL Rookie Symposium. They were so impressed with her that they brought her. They bring her up here every year to talk to the rookies on her own. And she was telling me how she couldn't believe how involved Coach Tomlin got. She said mainly coaches don't care about, you know, the off-the-field stuff. They have to concentrate on the games and the game plans. And every year when she's doing this lecture about sex education, and I guess they talk about some very frank things, Tomlin will actually walk in and stop the meeting and say, hey, make sure you're paying attention because this is really important to me and this is really important for you. And she's talking about how she's always so moved by that when he does that, that he actually takes time out of his own day to walk in and kind of tell the players, this is important stuff here.
You mentioned the candidness, the candid nature of those conversations. How eye-opening is it for these players who, because they're stars and have been for a good part of their lives, probably have plenty of opportunities to socialize, to meet women, and who are probably excited about the opportunity to be involved with any number of them?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting because she talked about how some of the players – meet women and hear things that are even, you know, shocking to them, and they'll come to her and say, you know, this woman came up to me and said this to me, and I just didn't even know how to react. Now, of course, there's going to be other players that she labeled them as connoisseurs of women, and she still even, you know, counsels them on, okay, if that's how you're going to live your life, you know, about, you got to think about condom use, you got to think about being smart. For the other players, she talks about, you know, envisioning who their perfect soulmate is and how they would want to treat that person and things along those lines. So she covers the whole spectrum of – she's not naive, but she wants to make sure she covers everything.
Yeah. Do people lose sight of the fact that these – even though they are Steelers and they are people who are well-known in the public eye, that they are in fact young people just out of college in their early to mid-20s in many cases and not fully formed adults?
Absolutely. And think about that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the CEO money, and you're 21 and 22, and all of a sudden you're making millions. And that's a really hard thing to manage for anybody.
You're a guy who's from Pittsburgh, lifelong Steeler fan. How eye-opening was this whole, the process of writing this article for you?
It was interesting because it was kind of a peek behind the curtain. I didn't know about any of these programs. So it was kind of interesting to learn about the team I grew up cheering for and still do, that some of the things they at least try to do, some of the attempts they try to make to create real character players, character people. Again, it's not going to always be successful, but it sounds like they're really making the effort and trying to get to know the player's family, just trying to learn every sense of who the player is.
Ben Schmidt is a Pittsburgh native, former writer for the Detroit Free Press, for whom he wrote for some 11 years, and now freelances and has written a piece recently for the Pittsburgh Quarterly called The Steeler Way. Ben Schmidt, thanks for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Up next, what is it about the game of football that inspires such devotion that borders on religious fanaticism? We'll find out next as Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.